Welcome everybody. I'm Sammy Strutt, Head of Member Development for Bigger, and I'd like to welcome you to this Continue to Learn Extra webinar. I'm pleased to welcome Liggy Webb, who will today focus on personal resilience. By the end of this webinar, we hope that you understand the value of being resilient, are able to be more adaptable and agile, finding ways to adapt well through rapid change by thinking more positively and optimistically, whilst taking personal responsibility and action to make a positive difference. Liggy is an award-winning and best-selling author, presenter, and international consultant. She is recognized as a thought leader on human resilience and works with a wide range of businesses focusing on optimizing potential and behavioral agility. Her clients include the BBC, Macmillan Cancer Support, the World Trade Organization, the United Nations, and our ever wonderful NHS. She is also familiar with Bigger, having been a keynote speaker at the TERF Managers Conference in 2015. She believes that diversity of her clients has provided her with a tremendous insight into the many and varied challenges that people currently face in this rapidly changing world that we find ourselves in. She has written over 25 books on a variety of life skills that support well-being. The guiding principles of her book, Resilience Through Change, have recently been televised for a series with the BBC World Service. Please feel free to ask questions via the chat function that can be found at either the bottom or top of your screen, and we will pose the questions on your behalf. Without further ado, I'd like to hand you over to Liggy.
Okay, thank you very much, Sammy, and good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be here with you on this webinar, and certainly talking about one of my favourite subjects has got to be personal resilience. So hopefully I'm going to be able to share some tips and techniques with you. I'm a big fan of keeping things practical, so there will be a practical toolkit for you to take away, and also access to lots of different resources as well. So if you want to scribble down some notes, by all means do, but you don't have of tools and access to an online library afterwards. And as Sammy said, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. But what I'm going to do first of all is I'm actually going to present to you about personal resilience. So for the next 30 minutes or so, I'm just going to talk to you a bit about this topic, and then we'll have questions afterwards. So as Sammy said, my name's Liggy Webb. I've been involved with resilience for many, many years. I wrote a book a few years ago called Resilience, How to Cope When Everything Around You Keeps Changing. And I had an opportunity to go out and interview people from all over the world, from lots of different backgrounds, to really find out what is it about resilience that is really important to us in the world, in everything that we do, no matter what our situation is. The ability to have that inner strength is important. I also did quite a lot of scientific research around the topic. However, as I mentioned before, I'm a big fan of keeping things very practical. So I've really distilled some of that scientific evidence and combined it with real life stories, so real evidence. So I've got lots of examples for you. So my advice to you is I would treat this afternoon's webinar a little bit like a giant thought buffet, because there's going to be lots of ideas and suggestions on the table. I'm going to share things with you that I've observed. There may be things that you see that you think, oh, I'm not quite sure that's for me. That's fine. Leave it on the table. I'm sure there's going to be some new stuff that you'll be able to take away. And there's going to be quite a lot of stuff that you'll be thinking, I've heard that before. I know that. But one thing I would suggest to you is it's not what you know, it's what you actually do with it that counts. And that's really important to bear that in mind. So I suggest that you keep an open mind, and it's a good opportunity for you to explore some fresh thinking. So the question I guess I've got for you is, are you ready for anything? Because we are living in a world where, quite frankly, we don't know what's around the corner. Even before the current situation that we find ourselves in, we were living in a very volatile world with lots of things happening, a lot of uncertainty, because we'd begun to live in what is known as the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Now, the Fourth Industrial Revolution is all about communication. We've been through the Third Industrial Revolution, which was all about the advancement of technology. But the Fourth Industrial Revolution, what really defines it, is our ability to be able to communicate so much faster with so many people in so many different ways. And this has increased speed. You know, we are living in a world that's going very, very fast. Sometimes we need to just slow down and take a deep breath. We are, in fact, living in what's known as the VUCA world. I don't know if anybody's ever come across this term VUCA before, but VUCA stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And it actually comes from army terminology. So from about 20 years ago, the military used to use this term. And I think it certainly describes and depicts the world that we're living in right now. But there is a much more positive version of VUCA, and this was put together by a professor in America called Bob Johansson. And Bob Johansson works for the Institute of the Future, and he's created a model that turns it around in a much more positive way, because he looks at the volatility in the world and turns this around to create vision. So as long as we've got vision, as long as we've got hope on the horizon, we can keep moving forward. And from that uncertainty, it's about understanding. And one of the things I guess we need to understand is that we're not always going to have all the answers. We don't have a crystal ball. And even though we're living in the land of uncertainty right now, certainly seems very intense, we've always lived in a world of uncertainty because we can't predict what's around the corner. So understanding that the best that you can do for the future is to focus and do the absolute best that you can do today. And out of the complexity, it is about creating clarity. I love quotes, as you'll probably find out if you explore some of the work that I do and through this presentation, but there's one particular quote I like. It's a quote by Einstein. And he says, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it well enough yourself. And I think that's very true. Now, sometimes we try to overcomplicate everything. So creating clarity is going to help. And out of the ambiguity, this is really about being agile. I'm sure many of you have heard this term on several occasions where we talk about behavioral agility, the need for us to be responsive, but to be quicker in our responses. And what essentially underpins this is resilience. Now, I find the topic of resilience a very rich, a very multifaceted, and in many ways a very beautiful topic, because it's so much about our ability to cultivate inner strength. It's about our will and the choices we make in terms of how we respond to situations. And as I mentioned, a few years ago, I actually wrote a book on resilience, and people shared stories with me. I was quite humbled in terms of the stories that they shared and how they actually managed to navigate some of the challenges that they have. And I think one of the best descriptions that I ever had about human resilience was that it's emotional sunscreen. And I think in many ways that's so true. It's about having that filter so that we can protect ourselves. And it's also about our ability to let go. Because so often we can hold on to experiences, we can take the negative memories and we can end up ruminating over those. A lot of resilience is our ability to be able to draw a line in the sand and to be able to let go and to be able to move forward. The term resilience actually comes from the Latin term resilio, which means to jump back. But I think modern day resilience is so much more than that, because it's about our ability to be able to learn, to be able to grow, and to be able to move forward. And Winston Churchill had quite an interesting expression he used to use, and that was, if you're going through hell, keep going. But I don't think it's just about keeping going at any cost, toughing it out. It's very much about self-care. It's about recognizing that you're a human being, you're not infallible, and you are going to experience all sorts of emotions when you experience situations that are difficult, adverse, upsetting, and scary. So accepting your ability to be a human being, you know, we all have good days, we all have bad days, but to be able to move forward and move beyond that, because this time will pass. Whatever we're going through, we will move forward from this. So what I'd like to do to help you to really understand what the foundations of human resilience are all about is I'd like to present to you a model that I've recently been working on, which really describes modern resilience. So these are the three pillars. And we talk here about being accountable, about being agile, and about attitude and our mindset. So I'm just going to take you through each of those three pillars. So the first one is about accountability. It's about taking personal responsibility. And that word's interesting, isn't it? Responsibility, because when we break it down and turn it the other way round, it is about our ability to respond. And there's a difference between being reactive and being responsive. You see, being reactive is about relying on what we've always done. So it's that kind of knee-jerk reaction. It's that kind of, if you do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So if you want a different outcome, you actually have to be responsive. And being responsive is about stepping back from whatever is happening to you and considering your options. Because that is one of the best things about being a human being. We always have choice. Every single situation that we're faced with, we are presented with a choice in terms of how we respond to that. And my dad's got a great expression. I have to share this one with you because he says, if you want to go a bit faster, you need to slow down. And one of the great Roman leaders, Augustus, he was actually the leader of the Roman Empire. And he had a very interesting term that he used. And that was festina lente. And what this actually means is to slow down, to make haste slowly, because there needs to be a balance between urgency and diligence. So on occasions, rather than being reactive, we do need to just slow down. We need to take a deep breath. And I just want to illustrate that point a little bit further in terms of how we can choose our mindsets. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever come across this book, but if there is one book in your life that I would absolutely recommend reading, it's a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Now, Viktor Frankl was an Austrian neurologist in the Second World War in the concentration camps, and he was a survivor. And when he actually came out of the concentration camps, he decided to write a book about human resilience and about his experiences in the concentration camps and his observations around human resilience. And this is one of the observations that he made. You can pretty much take away most things from a human being. You can take away their health. You can take away their freedom. You can take away their possessions. You can take away their family. You can take away their comfort. But the one thing that you can never, ever take away from a human being, a living human being, is their will. And their will is all about how they choose to respond to situations. And that in itself is about empowerment, knowing that in any situation you're in, you can choose your response. So that's all about accountability. The second pillar of human resilience is all around agility, and it's about to change. And as I mentioned before, in the fourth industrial revolution, we now need to be responding much quicker than perhaps we have done in the past. So that ability to be able to be agile. And as the late and very great female entrepreneur Anita Roddick once said, speed, agility, and responsiveness are the keys to future success. So we all have different responses to change. You know, some people really like change and they're very kind of open-minded and easy to it. And some people actually go out and actively seek lots of change because they like the variety. And other people perhaps don't like change. So we need to acknowledge we're all different. However, I think it would be fair to say that if you were presented with change you liked, then you probably embrace that quite happily if you could see the clear benefits. But when you're presented with change that you don't like, or you can't see the benefits, or in fact you're afraid of, then it's a completely different response altogether. And in fact, what happens when we go through those changes, we start to grieve for what we had. The new things that are happening to us in our lives make us start to focus on all the good things that we had before. And through that grieving, we start to feel lots of different emotions. Now, there's a Swiss-American psychologist called Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And many years ago, she wrote a book called On Death and Dying. And in this book, she created something which is known as the grief cycle. And the grief cycle is all about how we respond when we go through that grief. So the first thing that happens when we embrace a change that perhaps we weren't expecting, we go into shock. You know, we're quite confused. This is a new thing that's happening to us. And then we might go into denial. We can't quite get our heads around what is going on. And then perhaps we get angry. Perhaps we get quite frustrated. You know, I didn't ask for this change. I didn't want this change. And we can feel quite angry and perhaps even bitter about that change. And then perhaps we get to that point where maybe we start to bargain. We start to think about, okay, what things can I keep the same and what things am I prepared to change? We might even get to that point where we start to get what's known as change fatigue, where we just get fed up. It's like, here we go again. And we might get quite low. I'm not talking necessarily about clinical depression here, but just this feeling of just being kind of low and drained of energy. And then we get to that point of acceptance. And that point of acceptance is the most powerful position that you can be in, because then you can use your valuable energy to think about how you can influence that change rather than resisting it. And it's not just this straightforward kind of dance, I guess, that we go through, because all the time we're moving in and out of those different emotions. You might not have got all the information. So you might have got to the point of acceptance and then something new happens, something different that changes the facts. And before you know it, you might be back at that point of denial or anger. So we're moving around all the time. And the first point here is really to acknowledge that as a human being, this is a very basic psychological process that you will go through with those emotions. It's also important to be aware that when you're going through change with other people, then they're going to be going through all of these emotions and we won't be going through them at the same time. So you might find that some people are at that point of acceptance, but some people are still in denial about what's going on. But as I've explained, getting that point of acceptance, that is the best use of your energy. And life isn't perfect. You know, we're not always going to have situations that we always like. And we are going to be presented with change that perhaps we would never have invited in. And in a way, that is a part of building resilience. Going through those experiences helps us to learn, helps us to grow. And to illustrate that, I'd just like to share a story with you. Because this is a story of change. This is about a man who actually finds a butterfly cocoon. And it's before the days of the internet, so he can't Google what's going on. He actually has to take a big magnifying glass so that he can examine what's happening. And when he examines the butterfly cocoon, he can see there's a tiny hole and there's a butterfly trying to push through it. This butterfly is trying to emerge through the tiniest hole. And so the man thinks, I know, I'll be really helpful. So he gets a big pair of scissors, gets the cocoon, and he starts to cut round it and he opens the hole up. And sure enough, the butterfly can emerge really easily. No effort, no pain. And then it withers away and it dies. Because what the man didn't understand about the change process is the butterfly needs the struggle. It needs the struggle to actually push through the hole so that it can build the sap in its wings to give it the strength and the power to be able to take flight. And I think that is a fantastic analogy for life, because very often, you know, I'm sure you've heard that old analogy of what doesn't kill you makes you strong. But in many situations, we need to go through some struggles to really build our ability and our strength and our resilience, because this will help to prepare us for future challenges. So that's really about change. And the third pillar is about adopting what's known as a positive mindset or having positive thinking. We have tens of thousands of thoughts a day. We're thinking and we're processing all the time. And the quality of those thoughts is really important in terms of how we we need to be optimistic. I remember seeing this picture once with the man holding the glass, and there was a letter next to it, and it said, "Dear optimist, pessimist or realist, whether you were debating whether the glass was half full or half empty, I drank it. Kind regards, the opportunist." But this is very much about, do you see life as half full or half empty? And every situation that we look at, there will always be some positives. And sometimes we have to work really hard at being able to seek those out. And we do know through lots of compelling scientific research that people who have an optimistic mindset tend to be better at recovering from setbacks. They tend to be more resilient. They have a better relationship with themselves and better relationship with other people, and also better mental health. So this is not about no negatives allowed. You know, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that you negate the negative things that are happening, you know, in your life. And currently we are dealing with something that is incredibly challenging and unprecedented. But it's where you want to focus your attention that really counts, and that's really important. So the human mind is incredible. We know that it's neuroplastic. We know that we can quite radically change our thinking. But the brain is like any other muscle in our body. So it's a high percentage of water and soft tissue. So we have to exercise it. So positivity is something that you have to do every single day of your life. From the moment that you wake up in the morning, you really have to work at building those positive thoughts. I would say right now that one of the best things you can do to really help yourself cultivate a positive mental attitude is not pick up your phone first thing in the morning and start scrolling down and looking at the news, because I can guarantee it's not particularly going to be positive. It's about taking time to think about, you know, what are the things in your life perhaps that you're grateful for? What are the things that you have right now? Because how you set your day first thing in the morning can have a really powerful effect on how the rest of your day pans out. And burnout is the 21st century health epidemic, according to the World Health Organization. So it's really important that you consider how stress is affecting your body right now and start to think about what you do to really help yourself in terms of your well-being. This model is quite interesting because it looks at four components of well-being. So mental being our mental health and our cognitive function, physical being all about exercise, diet and rest, so how we look after ourselves physically. Environment is really thinking about the environment that you are working and living in. And for many people, that's the same space at the moment. So it's really making sure that you've created a healthy environment. And spiritual well-being is all about meaning. You know, this in life, a big part of spiritual well-being is being kind to yourself, kind to other people. So thinking about the holistic approach to well-being is really important. And afterwards I'm going to direct you to a library of resources where there is lots and lots of things that you will be able to explore. I've already started a blog which is sharing all sorts of tips about helping people with well-being in each component of this particular model. And even though the situation right now is very challenging, it's a very difficult situation, there are always opportunities as well. This is a time for us to get creative. This is a time for us to be able to connect with each other. This is a time for us to be able to be supportive and to be kind as well. So building a culture of kindness. We've already seen so many fantastic examples. 750,000 people who volunteered are going to actually be allocated with tasks and jobs today. But there are so many things that people are doing to be kind. For example, staying at home right now is supporting the very, very challenging job that our amazing and our wonderful NHS and all the care workers and the frontline workers have right now. So I'd like to say thank you for listening to the three pillars of resilience. I hope that's been helpful for you and just given you a foundation around what resilience is. Resilience is a lifelong journey. You know, we're learning all the time. We're always being presented with challenges and opportunities to be able to test our resilience. As I mentioned, I have got a blog. It's regularly updated. There's lots of materials on there. I've recently done a couple of radio interviews, and there will be continuing support tools as well. So I'm going to say thank you very much. I am open to questions, and I'm now going to hand back over to Sammy.
Thanks, Liggy. That was great. Perhaps you can tell us what your personal things are on dealing with resilience. How do you cope? Because I know that you've found yourself in all sorts of different situations during your career, like in war zones, for example. You know, how do you, I suppose we can compare where we are at the moment to a war zone. So it's just an invisible enemy that we've got. Yeah. You know, how do you cope with that? You know, what kind of techniques do you use?
Do you know, it's interesting. I presented at your conference 5 years ago, and about a week after I presented at your conference, I had a huge shock because I actually was diagnosed with a very rare heart tumour. So I actually had to go and have open heart surgery to have it removed, which was a real shock to the system. But it gave me a chance to really kind of test out the guiding principles that I've covered around resilience. I have 10 guiding principles that I follow. And I would say that if I was going to share with you a few tips, and particularly in this current situation, because you're right, I think, you know, we are almost in a war zone. There's something out there that is, you know, very, very scary, very, very dangerous. And I think there are a few things that we need to do. The first one is to create pace. I absolutely believe that we need to pace ourselves. I think there's a lot of stress flying around at the moment. There's a lot of adrenaline and that other chemical cortisol, which creates, you know, all sorts of tensions for our mind and our body. So being able to pace ourselves. I'm a big advocate of sleep. I think sleep is so restorative. We need to have really good healthy habits around sleep, having regular sleep times, thinking about what we do to make sure and ensure that we do have positive sleeping. Something else that I do every morning, every evening is I practice gratitude. So I think about in the morning, what are the key things in my life that I'm grateful for? And in the evening, before I go to sleep, I just focus on, okay, what were the best parts of my day? There is so much science behind that demonstrates that when we practice gratitude, it activates areas within our brains that releases all sorts of chemicals into our body that can actually make us feel a lot better. The other thing that I would suggest right now that's really helpful, and that's creating structure to your day. You know, if you can kind of map out your day, because as human beings, we do quite like routine, and that can help us to manage anxiety. So, you know, what time you get up, make a plan for the day, have regular breaks. I know a lot of people are crumpled over laptops, and that's not really going to be very helpful. So having lots of breaks, you know, doing stretching, there are a whole range of different relaxation techniques that are worth doing as well, but definitely some kind of structure in your day. It just helps you to have those kind of islands of sanctuary, if you like, and normality. And then the other thing, I'm just going to chuck this in, and I've just reinforced probably what I mentioned before, is just balance the amount of news, because if you spend all the time looking at the news, you will start to become quite down. Then, you know, there isn't a lot of balance at the moment. There aren't a lot of good news stories, so you have to actively seek those out yourself. I mean, I watch the news in the evening because I want to know what's going on, but immediately afterwards I'll watch a rerun of Gavin and Stacey or something that's, you know, fun and uplifting.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that about humor. We had a speaker at a conference earlier this year who was actually talking about the power of humor and how that brings people together and keeps them almost grounded, and bringing families together through humour is actually a very powerful thing. My family are spread all over the world, and we have a family WhatsApp group, and since this has happened, we have all been sharing funny videos, jokes. There hasn't been anything serious on there at all. And it's our way of keeping in touch with each other. I'm sure you have probably found that you're hearing from people that you've not necessarily heard from.
Months. I mean, that's an incredible thing. I don't know whether anybody else who's listening in has found that, but you know, people are getting in touch that you haven't heard from for years, and you know, it's been quite interesting. And saying about the WhatsApp group, I've got a few WhatsApp group. I've got a dog's, or my dog's little friend's WhatsApp group, and they're just sending hilarious videos of animals, and yeah, and it just picks you up, doesn't it? I think humour is so powerful.
Yes, yeah. I mean, a lot of our members are now finding themselves, you know, working on their own because many of the staff have been furloughed, and some are still able to go out onto the golf course to do essential maintenance. So they are in an environment where they are very much alone. What do you recommend that they could do to help keep themselves focused during that time?
Yeah, you know, if people are kind of like feeling isolated, feeling alone, I think that's where you have to be quite proactive in connecting perhaps with other people who are in a similar situation, but making sure that you do have check-in points through the day. You know, don't go a whole day without having that connection. You know, phone, picking up the phone and having a conversation with somebody as much as, you know, communicating on social media or Zoom, or but just, you know, really checking in with other people, because I think there are a lot of people that are feeling that way at the moment. And even connecting with people that, you know, like we've said, you haven't heard from or connected with in ages, use this as an opportunity to be able to do that. As human beings, we need that connectivity. It's really important to do that.
Yeah, I heard of, I was listening to the radio earlier today, and I was listening to Popmaster on radio too, and they have got, there's WhatsApp groups all over the country of people playing Popmaster together. And, you know, there's quizzes popping up through local pubs and charity groups. And it's really interesting to see how we are all adapting quite quickly to this change. And we're all trying to second guess what our new normal will look like. But I think it's finding these things, isn't it? It's actually looking for something that is of interest to you, that then helps you. I have got one question. It's I'm now spending 24 hours a day with my partner. How do I cope with this? The question I'd like to know the answer to, I think.
This is quite an interesting one, isn't it? And I think there's a few things we have to bear in mind. I mean, one of the key things that we're all going to have to learn at the moment is tolerance, because I think stress levels are quite high, and I think our irritability levels are probably quite high. I kind of yelled at my dog yesterday, a bit unnecessary, but you know, you've got a lot going on. So I think we've got to just kind of be quite tolerant. And I think creating space as well, because if you're finding that you're kind of together all the time, you know, if you can, and you're in an environment where you can sort of like have a bit of time out from each other, is probably a good thing. And even things like, this might sound like a bit of a bizarre suggestion, but even if you're kind of, you know, got headphones where you can listen to stuff, because I think sound is irritating people, where, you know, for example, somebody's doing something in one room, somebody's doing something in another, and you're disturbing each other with noise. So being able to just sort of switch off and create that focus. But tolerance is really important as well. And I think this is a great opportunity to kind of do creative things together, you know, actually explore something that you can create together. I think that can be really bonding as well. And for everybody really, is whatever you have had in the past that you've had on your kind of to-do list of something you want to do, do it now, because you don't want to look back and regret the fact that you had all this time, but you never had the chance to achieve that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of pristine gardens and decorating going on. If it's anything like the people that I've been talking to, you know, all of a sudden, all those to-do lists are being done. We've got a comment coming in saying, we're seeing a lot of negativity from our peers in social media. How do we approach our friends and encourage them to be more positive?
Well, I'm always a big believer of be the change you want the world to be. That was a Gandhi quote. And I think this is about set the example. You know, if you want to see positive stuff out there, put positive stuff. That, you know, the world has these sort of doom goblins, don't they, who like to just sort of spray all their negativity and, you know, and kind of do lots of doom mongering. And this is where we have to be quite mindful that we don't get involved. You know, if people are starting to engage in that dialogue, just don't go there. And the other thing as well is do switch off from technology and social media. You have to be quite disciplined with that, because we've all got a bit of FOMO going on, haven't we? Sort of fear of missing out, and yes, you know, we're always checking on our social media. But sometimes with all of that negativity, switching it off, just being able to log off from it, but just being mindful that you're not engaging, because we do have a choice ultimately whether we want to read it or not, as the case may be. So I think the key thing is just don't go there, don't comment, because the other thing as well, if you do comment on negative posts, it just fuels them. So, you know, just to have silence and ignore them is probably the best thing. But being really mindful about the amount of time you're spending on social media is really important.
Yeah, I actually discovered that my library has online books, audiobooks, ebooks, magazines, and it's all free, you know. So that's been a brilliant resource, because all of a sudden, you know, after you've finished that last book and now you can't get out to buy another one or get to the library to borrow one or buy magazines, that they're all there, and you can download them onto your computer or your tablet or your phone, whatever it may be. So So I found that's been a good thing. I've got another question. Where can we go to develop interpersonal skills to stop senior members of clubs affecting us mentally? So this is a kind of around mental health area.
I mean, obviously I don't understand the absolute specifics about this, but in terms of not letting other people bring you down, I mean, I've got access to the blog, to materials on the online library. So I'd kind of advise you to go and have there. And also I'll send Sammy another link as well to an online library so that you can go and explore that. And there is quite a few tips there on, in terms of kind of managing conflict, managing difficult situations, how you deal with different people, really. And I think this comes back when we're talking about resilience. It's a lot about emotional sunscreen. You know, nobody actually can make you feel anything unless you them to, and we have to be quite mindful in terms of you know how we respond to people, because we can't control the way other people behave. We can influence the way they do, but we can't control it. And there are some people that, you know, perhaps will never change. So the only thing that we have any control over is the way that we actually respond to that. So you can explore those materials, and I'm sure you'll find some of those really helpful.
Fabulous. I think sometimes you just have to step away from it, don't you, as well? And you have to step away from people that are not necessarily on the same page as you, to be able to keep yourself in check, really. Yeah.
Definitely. And that is a really good point. I remember years ago, somebody gave me a really good bit of advice and it stayed with me and it's so helpful. And they said, find everyone you meet in your life interesting, because what it does is it helps you to kind of cultivate a mindset of curiosity. It also has that question. Could this mean? Because sometimes people behave in a way that you don't like, or you think is unkind or unnecessary. Perhaps it's not because they're unkind, perhaps it's because they're unhappy, and perhaps it's because there's something going on in their life that they can't deal with, or they're finding really difficult. And being able to respond with empathy as opposed to frustration, and being able to be compassionate, can be really, really helpful in helping you to diffuse some of the frustrations you might feel.
Yes, yeah, good advice. Well, I think that's all the questions that we have for now, Liggy. So thank you so much for your time. I'm just going to do a quick screen share here for our CPD credits. Let me find that and get that loaded up. If it wants to come to life. There we go. Did we get that? Yes, we did. Fabulous. So these are the CPD credits being awarded for taking part in today's webinar. You should be able to see them on your screen now, I hope. If not, then get in contact and we'll let you have the details. This webinar will be available in the members area of the Bigger website within the next few hours. There's also the link to Liggy's blog on the website too, and the additional items that she's been talking about will also be available there. So everybody that's listening, I would like to thank you for joining us today, and we hope that you'll join us again for the future Continue to Learn Extra seminars. The details will be on the What's On page of the Bigger website. You'll also receive emails as well to remind you. So I would like to thank you all for your time today, and Liggy, thank you very much. We hope to see you soon.
You're really welcome. Thank you very much. Okay. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
The Green Room Golf Course podcast is produced by myself, Carl Hansel, on behalf of the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. For questions, comments and concerns, you can get in touch with me by emailing carl@bigger.co.uk. That's Carl with a K. You can also join the conversation on social media using @greenroombigger. And we've also got a Facebook page where all the latest notices, news releases and information from Bigger can be found. We're also on Instagram using @bigger_HQ. Subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The more people know about the sports turf industry, the more understanding they will have about the hard work of Bigger members and other greenkeepers. And speaking of Bigger membership, if you're inspired by what you hear to progress your career in greenkeeping, then a major first step is signing up to the association. The opportunities for career development are countless and potentially life-changing, such as volunteer opportunities at major tournaments and educational opportunities across Europe and the USA. Don't forget, if you're a golfer and you've got any questions about anything you hear on the podcast, have a conversation with the greenkeepers at your club. They've got the expertise to explain what's happening at the course and how it fits into the team's long-term vision to improve playability and enjoyment of the facility.